today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
We would go down to class for our video, not our video, but our picture taking class that we'd have at American
composite
University.
Yeah.
And it's said,
picture taking 201, it was called.
And they line us up shoulder to shoulder and said, all right, look angry. There you go. Good job.
Relax your mind. Take yourself to a calm place.
Oh, I forgot about the flutes.
Experience the relaxation that is Summer's Eve douche.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you.
Seems like a nice every inch California.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
Communicative.
Yeah. You should have asked him how he got here. He came on the 405 to the 1.
And he walked into the studio, and we looked at him and said, Marco, what are you doing here?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
When you do things every day, you kind of get into a habit and you forget that there are people that are new to what you do. And so sometimes I like to pull the curtain back and actually share with you some of the things that we do. They're fun. And one of them is we ask you to send Rob Spiewak at MikeOmaraShow.com cities that you have either visited, that you're from, that you know about, that you would like to hear on the show. And then every week, usually on Sunday night or Monday morning, Rob will send me a list of cities, and I put them on the air all week. Mm-hmm. And it's each week you get these. So I'm looking at the cities today, and they're all from different countries. And what I thought it would be funny was to be reincarnating George Carlin with simply the names of the towns, not the... I have got something that's...
Yeah, you've been messing me with your face.
I've got fuzz.
Fuzz?
What you need is...
I thought he quit.
What you need is a fresh face.
Or I'm withdrawing from drugs. But anyway, getting back to it. So we have the cities, and I'll do it in the... as an homage to the late, great George Carlin.
All right.
So, and it would go something like, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show. That has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Daegu, Landstuhl, Mongo, Kinderjick, Ashdod. Scotland, Maryland. That's it for Wino News. Details on the half hour. Anyway.
That was great.
I love it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Sometimes, I look, Oscar is completely autonomous, so he does not report to me and let me know what's going on. So he can come in here sometimes and completely surprise me. And imagine my surprise when he came in and said, we have an intern, a couple of days a week.
Yes.
We have a new intern, and I don't know because we've got a talking head today.
Jam
whether
show.
I wanna wait till tomorrow, but we've got Nikki tomorrow.
Yeah,
or,
you'd have
or
to
have
wait
him
till next Tuesday.
Yeah, I know you're
Tuesday,
dying to.
Oh,
at
so
least
today's
see him.
The day.
Today's the day.
Yeah. Ben, we have a new intern, and we have a talking head. This segment, we'll bring in the new intern, have him lean over Oscar's mic and just say hi. Tell us about the new intern, Oscar.
Marco is a white guy. He's roughly 6'5", I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Tall drink of water.
Yeah, he's he swam in college. I think maybe played water polo. I don't know, one or the other.
Said he came from American University.
Yeah, he's an AU. Well, he's a sophomore at AU. He actually interned with us this past his freshman year. Come on in here, Marco. Say hello to
him. Hi, Marco. Oh. Out of the car, long hair.
Hi, a little loud, so be careful. Yeah. Okay,
hi, Marco.
Hey, Mike.
Fellow American University student. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You didn't swim at AU, did you? Or do you swim at AU?
No, I played water polo like my whole life until I got
Water polo. And AU doesn't have a water polo team, do we?
No, they don't.
Okay, where did you do high level high school water polo or something like that, or club water polo? How did that work?
I sat on the end of the bench for a high level team.
For a high level team. So where did you play your water? I mean, like what league, what division? That's the question I'm asking.
Oh, just the Southern California High School League.
Oh, really? So it's a big thing. Is it a big thing out there in SoCal?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's where the best water polo in the country is.
What are you doing? Oscar, why are you shaking your hand around?
Okay, let me be clear. My headphones are too loud for Marco. Please turn down headphone one until I get my headphones back.
And he needs to be right on that mic.
All right. So, Marco, you're from Southern California?
Yep.
That's awesome. And exactly what part? Are you from Orange County? You're from L.A. itself? What's what part of California?
I'm from L.A. I live like less than a mile from LAX.
Do you love L.A.?
I love L.A.
I love
the great Randy Newman.
Yeah. Oh, the great Randy. Oh, see, there you go. That's wonderful. Well, welcome. We're delighted to have you. You're a sophomore at AU?
Yep.
It's a long way from home. And boy, AU is on an upward curve. I'm a class of all the way back in 1981. And I, you know, it's got a great, great heritage of broadcasting and all that. What do you want to do with your life at this stage, at this young age?
I'd like to get into sports media. I've been working with the Wizards and stuff, so hopefully that's I can turn a career out of that.
That's very
Isn't
cool.
Isn't it true,
that's
Marco, cool. that all you need is some tasty waves and a cool bud and you're fine?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's wonderful. We're happy to have you. I will refer other questions to another time, but how are I don't want to say that. That's sexist. God, it's difficult for me. I'm an old shock jock, Marco. So sometimes questions I would have asked a college student in 1990 are not questions I'm allowed to ask now. Let me see if I can do this delicately. Do you have a girlfriend at American University?
Yes, I do.
Okay, wonderful. And is she athletic like you?
She's athletic. Yep.
That's wonderful. And what's the best thing about that you found since you've been in Washington D.C. or specifically at American University? What do you enjoy the most?
I mean, everything around the city is free, including the metro for us. So
okay.
I mean, you're never bored.
You're never bored. Fantastic. Very nice meeting you. I like this kid. Yeah, good answers. Give Mr. Spiewak back his giant oversized for his massive head.
Thank you.
Headphones.
Welcome.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you.
Seems like a nice kid. Every inch California.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
Communicative. Yeah. He sought out the job.
You should have asked him how he got here. He came on the 405 to the 1.
And he walked into the studio, and we looked at him and said, Marco, what are you doing here?
I sat Marco
Pony,
down.
Pony, resume headphone one to normal level, please.
Please. I sat Marco down when he first started, and he's like, I want to be a sports reporter. And we have so many friends in the sports world, Mike, as a show, right?
Right.
Yep. And the work we do with ESPN clearly translates to what he wants to do. I said, look, there's only, it's one in a billion that breaks out and has a fantastic career in broadcasting. And that has a certain shelf life. Every one of my colleagues and friends that have gotten into political reporting, they have a career for decades.
Yeah.
And I said, and you're in the heart, the belly of the beast. This is where you do that. This is how you do that, right?
And
then
he
looked at me and said, Oscar, I love sports. Moving on.
Yeah. Shouted to shut you down.
You know what? I like him. My first impression
is... He loves
is,
what he loves.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. We will defer to him on all things California, and we'll move on. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a little out of sorts because there was a bit of a tiff in the O'Mara household before I came in to the studio. Now, we have moved to our wintertime schedule, which we tape early in the morning.
Hibernation, really.
I wish it was.
I know.
And now the only difference is my son's school is quite far away. And I mentioned the other day that traffic has quintupled in West South Florida because there are so many people that are down here doing the good work of overwhelming, when you think about it, rebuilding the Fort Myers area. I will tell you, I watched a video yesterday of crews that are working down on Fort Myers Beach, actually right before you go over the bridge. And I've told you about my son's little pirate cruise that he goes on with the other kids.
Sure.
That's right where that pirate ship was. It made it through the storm, which is
a
miracle.
No kidding?
But it looks as though the boats, the docks, the gangways accordioned to the shoreline and just stacked up on top of each other. So I'm watching this. It's daunting. And because there's so much of that work now from everywhere, months and months and months, maybe years of work that have to be done, this place has overnight more traffic than I've ever seen. So it takes me just about a flat hour, maybe a little over, to get my son down to school and get him back.
Sounds terrible.
It does.
But it's okay.
You're a good
because
papa.
Today I did Zen,
shorts.
And I don't do it every day. I tried to get myself in a good space to do it, but, well, as I explained to my wife later on, it was fragile. It was a little bit fragile when I, you know, because the day before, yesterday, I'd taken a right, then a left, then a right.
Yeah, you were trying to hack the system.
Thinking I can do the hack, and it was a cluster F, and it didn't work. It didn't work for me at all. Today, I was just straight shot, and of course, there was an accident. What it appeared to be, we have these things down here now that are disaster relief trucks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What they are is picture a big, it's not a flatbed, it's not a box truck, it's like a truck I've never seen. High-sided black metal, and inside of that black metal is a claw hydraulic lift, and then attached to that trailer is another trailer that's just empty.
Oh, yeah.
And they just fill these things full of debris.
The Transformers have a Constructicon like that.
They are
exactly what I was thinking.
Something was wrong with one of them. Mm-hmm. Something was happening. Maybe something was burning inside one of them. I don't
receptacons.
Know. They had the right lane stopped, and so it was traffic. And so a little longer for me. But as I said before, Zen. And when I came back home, I didn't have a tremendous amount of time. I had done the first part of my show prep at about 6 o'clock in the morning.
I'm giving you some nice Zen.
Ooh, this feels
turn it
great.
Up, please. Turn it up, Rob. Just a second.
Refreshing.
Okay,
so I'm going to lick some of this water up.
Relax your mind. Take yourself to a calm place.
Oh, I forgot about the flutes.
Experience the relaxation that is Summer's Eve douche.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'll stop that. All right, turn it off. So
it was fragile.
Fragile. So that was the reason why I overreacted when, as I was probably 25 minutes from showtime, my wife said to me, "When are you going to start working out again?"
Oh, that's painful.
And I responded by saying, "When are you going to get more clients?"
Oh my, no.
You went right to the offensive.
You stop the show and let us finish, because that's basically calling someone fat.
Yeah.
Like, that is brutal.
There are rude things you could have said that wouldn't have been near that bad.
She's recovering from Hurricane Ian. She might have lost some of her faces to the storm.
Mm-hmm.
What a jerk.
A good way to shut down a conversation like that, I've found, is to raise one's hand and say, "Time and place." And then excuse yourself from the situation.
No, he's already through the... The grenade exploded.
I know.
It's over.
I know.
The good news is we talked it out, but she...
Did she have an answer for you?
Did she? If she struck you, I would condone it. I'm not a violent person, but if she struck you, maybe a sidekick.
Right. Yeah. I was at fault.
Man, you went for the jugular.
You really did.
Are you feeling fat
God,
lately?
That is her direct quote. if she is listening right now, is, Rob, you want to know why she likes Oscar more than you?
Well, I think I know, but go ahead.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there. Although both of you are on her side now, obviously. And I know that you should be because she said, "Boy, you go right." And it was just...
She also likes Oscar because he's not a dork.
Yeah, we would have hung out in
high
school.
Did she call you a dork one time?
Yeah, more than once.
She's like, you're such a dork. And she walked away like the cool girl.
Yeah. No, she loves you both. She does.
like a cool girl.
Yeah, like a cool girl in high school.
Yeah, it was like being back in 1987 again.
When you give me my homework, give it to me in black ink.
That's right. Dork. Right.
let's just say I've been a little sensitive.
I understand.
And well, no, I overreacted.
Okay, that's an apology of sorts, I think. I heard one.
I apologized.
Have you been, and this is something that's we don't actually talk about. We just joke about it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Have you been feeling particularly fat lately?
Well, yeah. I mean, after we came back from the weekend, I told you I'd gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Yes. Yesterday and the day before, I've lost half of what I gained. And
is
so,
it something you've discussed with her? The weight gain?
Well, we're always talking about it. Okay.
Yeah, they fight it together. All
right. Well, she fights it for him. And the thing, thank you again.
New hiding places for the cookies.
No, a little bike ride and, eating right and got on the scale and down another pound today. And I was very happy with that. And I hope to be down tomorrow.
When you put on weight quickly like that over a weekend, it comes off rather quickly too, though.
I hope so.
If you get right back on track.
I really hope so because, I have my.
That also helps if you're in a 4-day coma.
You know, God love Noom with their graph, you know, with their little bubbles that are like pop, 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 pop. And sometimes when you see my graph, when it goes down, when it goes pop, 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 pop,
if it makes you feel any better, this past year, my graph looks like the Rocky Mountains.
And mine does too. Mine does too.
If you were back on the horse,
if you were trying to fly a plane towards my graph, you'd have to change altitudes dramatically.
John Denver, watch out!
Hey, but Mike, take some solace in this. You should see my liver graph.
Well, that's a flat plane.
When's the last time you got a checkup? I mean, you're not waiting? Do you have to wait the full 6 months like they said, and then nothing in between, or do you get periodic tune-ups?
Submitted blood last week and need to submit blood again this week. So they're keeping an eye on things. Yeah.
So they're keeping an eye on you. All right. Well,
that was an apology to your wife.
Yes.
Yeah, but prior to the show, because of my faux pas, we had to have the back and forth, and Carla is a counterpuncher. When I piss her off like I did, she lets me know. That's why we stayed together, I believe. We keep it straight that way. And it just went on and on and on. And it's so painful for me because I'm just a big wuss, like all men. I am a complete, total wuss. I had a guy that I was having a drink after golf with the other day, and he's talking about that's the way the rules are in my house, and I'm like,
is his name Oscar?
Yeah, that's such a lie. Yeah, I mean, you know, and Oscar, we all know Oscar is all bluster on the show.
Yeah,
and then he gets home and it's like, yes, dear, I believe.
Can I have some more yogurt and grapes?
So anyhow, everything was right when I came in here, but I'm still agitated, especially when I have my new trade coffee that I put on the strong setting, and I'm like,
I knew something was at play because we're just on the new 9 o'clock start.
Yes.
And we're coming off a few months of the 3 p.m. start.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was very common on the 3 p.m. start for you to start with, I've had myself a day.
Yes.
But when it's 9 a.m. and you've already had yourself a day, that's something.
Yeah. Had a great drive to school with my kid who was talking about Harvard, which is amazing at 9. Who knows where he'll end up one day, but said he wants to be a lawyer because it made me laugh out loud. He's driving around, Dad, I think I want to be a lawyer. I said, why is that? He said, because I like to argue. And I went, bah! But anywho,
he's got the charisma for it.
He does.
I think so. I think he does.
He could be, kid lawyer.
No, it's going to be a white crime defense attorney.
Oh, like white collar crime?
Yeah.
A white collar crime.
Jesus. What? Sorry. White collar.
White collar criminal, as long as as long as he buys grandpa the house.
My, my neighbor, he looks very happy, and he is a white collar criminal defense attorney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he looks like he's
you want him to defend white collar criminals.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he looks very happy.
Priests?
No, white like bankers.
Oh, okay.
Before we bring our talking head in here, two quick hits. Number one, shout out to my buddy from Massachusetts, Mitch, who when we were taking our bike ride, me, my son, and and my my wife leaned out of his truck as he was driving by and said, "Nice to see you out riding with your grandfather." As he drove
by. I like
by.
Mitch.
So, Mitch, good That's guy.
Funny. That is a good Boston sense of humor.
And this is new to me, probably not new to you, but I saw it for the first time, and it's my bumper sticker of the day, driving back from my kid's school. I drive by what appeared to be a Honda Odyssey and a bumper sticker on the window that said, "Condoms prevent minivans." Funny
that it was funny.
On.
Yes.
Funny that it was on a minivan. Shtick. That made me laugh.
I like
so,
that.
That's all I've got for you today. Let's bring in our talking head. Our talking head's name is Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor has been with us since 1998 when he was studying at the University of Iowa, Hawkeye. He is a podcast listener since day one. He has been married for 20 years to his wife, Natalie. They live in Iowa City, a great place to grow up. No kids, but plenty of pets. Jason recently returned from Fort Myers, Florida. I hope he wasn't here recently, where he helped. Oh, he helped with disaster relief as a Sawyer. We'll find out what that is. I don't know what it is. Jason is an administrator for Team Rubicon. Team Rubicon is a veteran-led disaster response organization. Oh, my God, the right guy to get on the show now. Jason served a tour in Iraq. In the past, Jason assisted the people of Kentucky after last December's tornado and also helped with a wildfire mitigation operation in Colorado. Wow, what a life. Team Rubicon is built to serve and also work tirelessly to distribute COVID vaccinations, and they're helping out in Ukraine as well. By the way, anyone can join Team Rubicon. Just visit TeamRubiconUSA.org. Jason is also passionate about training young people for a life of service. He loves that our show is just guys talking and that there is nothing else like it out there. He even came out to meet us when we did the show live from Kinnick. I love that stadium. Oh, so much fun. One of his favorite parts of the podcast is the political talk, because at this time, it is very important to discuss it. I agree with that. And lots of, debates. Lots going on in the world of politics right now. He loves to listen to the show each evening, often while cooking dinner. He says it's his favorite way to relax. And Jason once met Steve Bridges. How you doing? In a time of great crisis.
Thrilling.
Intrigued you should be now. Here's Jason Taylor. Jason, that's a heck of a bio. And wow, welcome to the show. Whoa. Glad to have you on here.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
I have to get right to it. So you just got back from Fort Myers, and first of all, thank you on behalf of all the people down here. You've seen it, you've been in the middle of it, and I think those of us that were not severely impacted by the storm, even people that are less than 2 miles close by, forget what some people are going through. Tell me about Team Rubicon. I want to hear all about your disaster relief and what that's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So Team Rubicon was started back in 2010. There was an individual, a Marine veteran from Iowa. He saw that the disaster in Haiti that was happened after the earthquake there, he wanted to go help. There was really no avenue for him to do so. So he went down there with a buddy and crossed the border, and they set up some medical triage work down there. And he realized like there was this place for veterans to support disasters after they've happened. And there's this sense of camaraderie, and there's a sense of belonging and a sense of pride in doing a good job that veterans really like to have. And so he started this Team Rubicon organization. And since then, it's grown. There's over 150,000 members at this point in time all across the country. Yeah, and we're international as well. So it's a pretty amazing organization to be a part of.
Since you were down there, and thank you again for doing what you do, maybe you could share better than I have the after effects of what you dealt with and what people are dealing with down here in Southwest Florida, my home now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, your area is amazing. The community is fantastic. It's very varied. You have a lot of individuals that don't have a lot of money. Then you have a lot of wealth in your area as well. And so we try to work with the communities that need the most assistance. Hurricanes are interesting because you have all that wind and it's, doing all the damage to the trees and knocking down houses and taking roofs off. Then you have that storm surge. And so you have that combination of flood as well as wind and it really can mess with the houses pretty bad. And so the work that we do as an organization is we can go in. I work on a Sawyer team, and I'll explain what that is if you're interested.
We also do
a lot of what they call mucking and gutting. These flooded houses, if you've never been in a flooded house, it's pretty gross.
Because everything stinks, right?
Oh, it's nasty. It's nasty. Right. On Monday, you mentioned all those refrigerators that you saw lined up on the side of the road.
Uh-huh.
If you think about a refrigerator that's packed full of stuff, power goes out, it's sitting full of flood water and the Florida heat for about a month. Ugh. Someone has to get that out of a house and dispose of it. Homeowners can't do that on their own. And so that's part of the work that we do. And it's absolutely disgusting. But it's, we help them do that type of work.
Wow. I mean, of all the work that I could imagine, short of, recovery, I would say mucking out a flooded house and just getting that. Because you hear the one consistent, I've heard this on the news over and over and over again, the smell. I was down on Bonita Beach Road this past weekend. I was in my car driving by these homes. These were the expensive homes on Bonita Beach Road. I could still smell the stink of that.
Wow.
And this is after many of you guys have been in cleaning up these situations and getting this done. You mentioned the community. I've found the attitude down here to an individual that's lost everything, right through people like myself that have minimal damage, that everybody says the same thing, though. It could have been worse. We were lucky, And when you get somebody who's lost a home and they have the attitude of, we're just lucky that we're alive, I don't know. It's incredibly inspiring. And I mean, you had to see that, I'm sure, as well, when you talk about the attitude in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody wants to help. And so we'll be at one neighbor's house, mucking stuff, cutting stuff up, trees, all that stuff. And then they'll say, hey, you know who really needs some assistance is my neighbor. And they may not be there, but they'll give me a phone number and we'll call them up and we'll have them. And there was this amazing story where there was an individual. He's an Air Force veteran. He's in his upper 70s, early 80s. And he and his wife rode the storm out in their house. And it was about 4 feet of flood water. They had to go outside because they weren't sure if the house was going to be washed away at that point in time. And he came and we were able to help him. And we tried to recover as much as we could. But his side yard, there was a dock, there was a boat in his yard, in his side yard.
Wow.
And, when you're 80, he's had three pacemakers. Wow. You can't do that work on your own. So that's where we step in. And so we're able to actually help them do that. And we're all volunteers. Team Rubicon, 100% volunteers. We have people taking time off from work, paid time off to come down there to do this stuff. And so it's not like we're doing it because we're getting paid great money. We're doing it for the love of the community and for the love of the brotherhood of the organization.
It's awesome. Go ahead, Oscar.
The website's teamrubiconusa.org if you want to get more information. I've known about Team Rubicon for some time. And I think that something that should be addressed is the people that go down there, they don't make it about them at all. They just, they're going to serve, right? They're givers. But also I'm curious on your end, because I've never had a chance to speak with the team member directly. What is the feeling? Do you walk us through a homeowner walking on their site while you've been on their site for the very first time?
It's hard because often you're the first person that they're in contact with that's offering them help. And sometimes you have to convince them because there's so many scammers that are out there that are trying to just get their money. And so you often have to explain to them that, who we are, what we do, we're not trying to charge you any money. So that's like the biggest first thing. And then offering them like, this is what I can do. And unfortunately, there's a whole lot of stuff that we're not able to do, but we try to hook them up with other resources. But, when you're going into a house and there's an 80-year-old woman and, she rode the storm out and she's still living in that flooded out house, because she has a cat and they can't go to a shelter together. You want to do everything that you possibly can to help that person. And so we do everything. We pull all the strings, all the contacts we possibly can to help out all those individuals. But yeah, it's incredibly emotional. So the work is physical. You are beat by the end of the day because you are just, you're covered in everything. You've been working hard with a chainsaw or mucking and gutting. But I tell you what, the emotional side of it, that's where it's pegged out. That's where it's at an 11. Because again, you're working with these individuals that have had their worst days and you're just there to do anything possible to help them out.
Wow.
I'm short of words to express the gratitude that people in this area have. I am so blown away by the recovery effort and the speed with which some of these projects are happening. And I think one of the reasons for that is there are so many groups that come in and do what you do and get us on the road to recovery. But as I mentioned, and you did hear me talk about the refrigerators, when you hear 11,000, we've covered 11,000 houses with tarps, you know, that's been done so far. You hear the scale of this. It's and for everybody around the country, you should understand this. You see the video and you see the surge and you see Jim Cantore, and then it all goes away. And yeah, we're left with this and what we deal with. And it is just amazing. I have never been in the middle of, outside of 9/11 when I was in New York. It was a totally different circumstance. I've never been in the middle of a disaster zone. I never have. And I have been absolutely awestruck by the number of people that respond. People like you and Team Rubicon, people like the Red Cross, people coming down there. I'm curious, and I'll get off of this in a second, but as far as coordination, where you come down and, you know, obviously there's got to be a game plan, and I would imagine that's where the military training from your organization comes into play. You know, when you get on the ground, do you know exactly where you're going, what you're going to do? Is there, how is it coordinated? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this case, Team Rubicon has what's called a recon advon team. And these are individuals that they knew this storm was coming. So this is different than a tornado. So Mike, right, you were talking about how, you know, they had these charts and they kind of showed where they thought it was going to go. And then it kind of drifted off to the side a little bit, but they had an advance notice. So they sent a recon advon team down there prior to the storm, so that immediately after it happened, they had the ability to start saying, okay, we need to be working in these communities. We're going to be able to set up shop and get our forward operating base in this area. We need to bring in, you know, X number of trailers full of equipment. We're going to have 100, you know, gray shirts. They call us gray shirts because we all wear the same uniform. We need 100 gray shirts down here. We need 3 SAW teams. They have the ability to do that because, again, we have years of experience doing this. We follow a very prescribed way in which you're disaster actually able relief to kind of plan it out.
Yeah.
And man, so oh man. Wow.
You get in there, you get it done. And then we have flight waves. And so we started 8 days after, we had about 75 people in Fort Myers, 8 days after the storm. And we'll be there until the end of November. So I'm hoping to go back over Thanksgiving. I'm hoping to go back, fly down.
So you cycle in and out almost like a military tour, right?
You have to, because after the end of 8 days, it's 8 solid days of work. And again, the physical gets to you, but you need to, what we call, change your socks. You need to go back and you need to decompress. And that's where, honestly, you guys come in. You know, I was talking with Rob about this. It's that psychological component where you just need to have some sort of outlet. And that's what you guys have been for me for years.
Oh, man. Well, let's lighten the mood a little bit, because it says here at the end of your bio, Jason, you once met Steve Bridges in a time of great crisis. Now I'm afraid to ask what it was, you know, because
well, Steve I lived.
I know that KCJJ had some flooding issues too. Was that it? Is that what it was?
That was it. Yeah. So back in 2008, the Iowa River that goes through Iowa City flooded. Like, I remember, most of Mississippi. And at that time, they were in a studio in Coralville. And very close to the river. And so they put out a call. They were like, hey, if anyone's available, you know, we need some people to help sandbag. And at the time, I was able to. And so I got over there, helped him sandbag, met him, met Jan. You know, I've met him a couple of times since. I've done some interviews with him and things like that. But yeah, he's a special guy for the community.
Aww. Oh, he's something else. He really, really is. You know, it's just, this is about as inspiring a talking head segment as I've had. I think, do you have to be a vet, by the way, to get involved with Team Rubicon?
You do not. So we have veterans, we have law enforcement, and what we have is what we call them, kick-ass civilians. These are individuals who just want to support. And literally, I've served with individuals that are 18 at Team Rubicon. I've served with individuals that are 75. Absolutely everybody has a place with this organization. Volunteer, sign up. We would love to be working with you.
Is there a fundraising element to Team Rubicon? Because we might as well give that a plug after hearing this. Yes. It's a pleasure to do so.
Absolutely. If you go to teamrubiconusa.org, you have the ability to donate. You also have the ability to sign up there. I'll give you my email address. If you're in the Iowa area especially, I would love to just connect with me and I will get you help signing up. That's jason.taylor@teamrubiconusa.org. Send me an email. And then also there's another element. T-Mobile is one of the sponsors for Hurricane Ian. And so they have a program right now where if you just text RELIEF, R-E-L-I-E-F, to 595959, T-Mobile just sends $5 to Team Rubicon for every single person. It doesn't cost you anything. And so there's multiple ways that you can donate, multiple ways that you can give to this organization, help out for this as well as all the other ops that we're on right now.
You said you might be doing a tour around Thanksgiving. You know what I'd like to do, Jason, if you would have us? I'd love to get you back on sometime before the holiday, the Christmas holiday, to get an update on our area and Team Rubicon and how things are going, if you wouldn't mind. We've never done that on a Talking Head segment, but I'd like to have you back because you're a wonderful spokesman for the organization and somebody that I think will motivate people to volunteer. My mom said it, God rest her soul, a long time ago. You get more than you give, and I'm sure you believe that as well.
Absolutely. And I would love to come back on. Yeah, and my plan is to get back down there and do what we can.
All right, awesome. Jason, anybody you want to say hi to before we let you go?
You know, number one, all the gray shirts that are out there, you guys are doing amazing work, so thank you. And also my wife, Natalie. Every gray shirt that's out there deployed, every military member that's deployed, has someone at home that's taking on a lot of extra work. And so really want to appreciate all those people that are staying back and getting, you know, taking care of the kids and taking care of the pets, everything else at the house. So thank you.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you. That's Jason Taylor from Team Rubicon.
Thank you, man.
I just want to do not when you hit a home run, a guy like this, you want to do the we're not worthy thing. We will take a break and we will come back with the homepage right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. And if I'm short on words, it's because I'm a little bit in awe right now.
Power 95, Twitch patrol lines are open. Hi, who's this?
I shouldn't tell you.
Why? Do I know you?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Is this Jim Amato?
No.
Have I had fun with you within the past 2 months?
Yes.
Okay, that cuts it down to 1,000. Are you Rick Scofield?
No.
Are you Jolene White?
No.
Are you Linda Herr?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you to get tickets to the Mike O'Mara Live Show in New Orleans on April 15th at 8 p.m. at the House of Blues. Tickets are on sale to the general public on November 1st.
Because of you, I'll be in New Orleans.
That is about as inside as it gets.
So great, though.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. A recent report shows that consumer debt, like interest rates, has increased to historic numbers. With the home equity that many homeowners currently have, it is a very good time to consider tapping into that equity to save money every month. According to my good friend, Mr. Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, just because you have a low interest rate doesn't mean you shouldn't refinance and take cash out to save money. And if you were to wrap in a car loan, credit cards, or student loans, you can save hundreds, if not thousands, per month, even with a higher interest rate. If cash flow relief is the priority and you want to get your head above water, the rate is irrelevant. Credit cards and second mortgages are in the double digits, and in some cases, the cash out is tax deductible. Call now to check out what these guys can do for you because they are the best. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, call Cornerstone First Financial today, the number one rated mortgage company of all TMOS listeners, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com, people.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. And, since his anti-Semitic rants, Kanye West has been losing business partners left and right. Yesterday, he lost something else. is billionaire status. Mm. After Adidas cut ties with Kanye, Forbes announced that his net worth is a mere $400 million, down from $1.3 billion a few years ago. Adidas is walking away from about $250 million in profits in the fourth quarter alone, but it's probably worth it. The Gap also turns its back, and his streams and radio airplay are both down, down, down. He went down, and, you know, we talked about it yesterday.
Just a brief conversation that I think warrants a reminder of, you know, there's a fine line of what's acceptable and what is not.
Sure, and absolutely. And you have to go pretty far, even in today's world.
Yeah.
For me, digging deeper into this appropriate response, I don't even want to call it cancellation, because that gives it like some sort of
a
facade of, oh, yeah, it's falls into the cancel or whatever.
Cancel culture crowd.
No, this is appropriate, and I would say that there's a lot more of that to come. I thought it fascinating that Adidas went out of their way within their statement for the severing ties with them. That, and this is why they're Adidas and not just a sole proprietor or a celebrity. They will own all designs and the entire line moving forward of his creation. Mm-hmm. Because there are clauses within these contracts that say, moving on, we own it. If you step out of not out of place, but if you create damage to the brand.
Yeah.
So all those designs.
Yeah, their legal departments are so significant, they cover their asses.
Yeah, so literally they will continue making these shoes without his likeness and profit. He literally gave away the designs, and he gave away the patents. He gave away everything.
Yeah, and it took him long enough, I think. Everybody, they took a little hit based on how long they took to
almost 2 weeks. Everyone else is like, see you later.
Yeah, 100%. Oscar, Rob, I'm curious about what your take is on this, because this one caught me by surprise this morning. In his new memoir, Matthew Perry goes into detail about his struggle with addiction and his long, expensive road to sobriety. He also goes into detail about, and this is weird because the guy gets a good rap, his hatred, Matthew Perry's, of Keanu Reeves. He actually disses Keanu twice in the book, both times when he's talking about a friend who died. This is just really, really odd to me. The first is River Phoenix. Matthew starred with him in the 1988 movie A Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, "River was a beautiful man inside and out, and too beautiful for this world, it turned out. It always seems to be the really talented guys who go down. Why is it that the original thinkers like River Phoenix and Heath Ledger die, but Keanu Reeves still walks among us?" I don't know where it came from and what
and
it's based on.
There's no explanation, no backstory on
that? Well, they were all young Hollywood at that time.
Yeah.
Not in this news story. Then he slags Keanu again while talking about the death of Chris Farley, who starred with him in Almost Heroes. He says, quote, "I punched a hole through Jennifer Aniston's dressing room wall when I found out Keanu Reeves walks among us." I don't know where it's from.
That's weird.
You've heard the most amazingly positive stories about how kind and generous and good Keanu is to the crews that he works with and all that stuff.
He seems, especially lately, Keanu has had like a sense of humor about himself, which I think is really great. I mean, he's made some fine films, but I think also the fact that he doesn't take himself too seriously.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's all right.
Matthew Perry has been famous since he was 15 years old.
That's true.
If not earlier, since he was essentially becoming a teenager.
Right.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Young. They're all young bucks in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be as simple as, you know, all these guys that he mentioned were in the throes of addiction and lost that battle.
Yeah.
And Matthew almost lost his life to addiction. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a lot of Americans have had dalliances with. What I'm curious about is, did Keanu, were they friends? Did he just, as you know, Mike, sometimes you just got to walk away from people because they're chaos.
Yeah.
Did he turn his back on him at one point and say, I'm moving on?
Hard to say.
More to come, I would imagine. Something like this normally causes a little bit of a backlash. How many blunts do you think Snoop Dogg smokes a day? Do you have an answer? Well, guess what? It's higher. No pun intended.
Oh.
As you probably heard, Snoop employs a professional blunt roller. She goes by the name Renegade Piranha. Of course she does.
She's famous.
And,
it's not her given name.
Oh, I don't think it's on her birth certificate, Rob. She was on an Australian radio show yesterday, and she says, get ready, she's rolled 450,000 joints for Snoop since she took the gig. Here's her quote. I do about half a pound a day, which is 75 to 150 joints. She didn't specify whether Snoop smokes every one of them himself. Maybe the crew partakes too.
All I can imagine is Snoop handing him out like a guy in a 1940s movie handing out cigars when he's a new dad. He said, I would have think a joint, that, have a joint, have a joint.
Or yeah. Is it the cost? Is it a tax write-off?
Because it's his brand.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be criminal, so to speak.
Oh, Renegade Piranha.
This is stunning to me. The world's dirtiest man passed away in Iran on Sunday. He was 94. He was referred to as Amu Haji or Uncle Haji.
What were his years that he worked as engineer at WAVA? Because I can never put it into...
Uncle Haji.
Yes.
He's been... several profiles have been done on him because of his bizarre lifestyle. He had not bathed in more than 60 years.
Oh, no.
Because he believed that soap and water would make him sick. But a few months ago, villagers persuaded him to wash for the first time. And shortly afterwards, he did get ill. But hold on. There's no known connection between him and bathing. And he was 94. So who knows?
How'd you like to take a look at that tub?
There is a line of thought that says that there's like this Teflon film of bacteria and germs that you can build up on your skin.
Yeah, well, also it builds your resistance.
As a baby, though.
Yeah.
Not an adult.
Well, they talk about it in areas that have bad sanitation and bad water, that people from those areas are build up a tolerance to bacteria and diseases and viruses.
I heard that this guy, because of all the dirt on his body, hated Keanu Reeves.
In 2014, the Tehran Times reported that Haji also avoided fresh food.
Do you still take that paper?
Yes, the Tehran Times. I get it every day in my driveway. He also avoided fresh food. He opted instead for rotted porcupine. Mmm. Oh. And he smoked a pipe of animal excrement. Oh, I'd
no
love
chance.
To. He also loved cigarettes and would often smoke several at once. He'd drink up to 5 liters of water a day, although it was out of a large, rusty oil can. Yum, yum, yum. All right, but he's gone now.
Ladies, he was single.
He's single.
I have an immigrant stomach where my mom will cook certain things that my wife just can't eat because she's got a delicate Diablo Blanco stomach.
Yeah.
And
White Devil.
And for me, I couldn't fathom just not taking a shit. Like, I know that it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, some people are more sensitive, and God
we should
knows
get
what
Mac
you were.
McIntyre on the line.
Yes.
Mac?
Yeah.
He was the whitest man in America.
Also looked like the dirtiest intern we've ever had.
Yeah, I would think so. He's got a Mac attack, though.
Mac attack next week. Let's get him on the show. Legendary sports broadcaster Jim Nantz.
Oh.
You know what? This is a guy that I thought would never stop doing everything. He might be slowing down, Rob.
Really?
Jim Nantz will call his last Final Four at the end of the 22-23 college basketball season. That's according to CBS Sports. Though he's stepping away from the NCAA tournament coverage, Nantz is staying with CBS Sports for coverage of the NFL and golf. Now, does this mean he's given up all the games for CBS? I would think so, probably.
Hard to tell. I mean, he always said that his last broadcast would be his 50th Masters. He said this for years. He said this 20 years ago.
Yeah, he might do that till the end. And look at Vern Lundquist. He's 80 and he's still doing the Masters. So, I mean,
Vern
I think
Lundquist,
that's where...
Vern who loves to smoke a pipe full of excrement, which is amazing.
And hasn't bathed in 60 years. Nantz, his first tournament, NCAA tournament as a broadcaster, came all the way back when I started my major market radio career in 1986, the year after the field expanded to 64 teams. He worked as a studio host before transitioning to play-by-play for the 1991 Final Four. Ever since, he's been on the microphone calling some of the sport's most memorable games on its grandest stage. I could take, it's either Golf Digest or Golf Magazine. He has a column and I could take every single one of them. Oh, Rob, I could take every one of those. You know what? I'll keep it in mind. And it's time for Mike Reed's Jim Nance's
please.
Column.
I would love that.
Because it's like, it's pure Nance. It's yeah. pure Nance all the way. That's the way it goes.
So if he, so, how long has he been doing the Masters then? Because probably shortly thereafter.
I think he's got I would think so. 12 more.
Okay, 12 more. Good, good. Like
12 that. More. That's right. And it's back out to my house at Pebble Beach. A Central Florida man, now a little something something, took out his anger over nearby construction work by shooting into a vehicle over the weekend, earning him two attempted murder charges. Yes, there were people in the vehicle.
Oh, dear.
This happened in Polk County. According to the Polk County Sheriff's Office, 75-year-old, why am I doing it like Jim Nance? 75-year-old Richard Vittoriti shot into the occupied vehicle Saturday night in the Lake Hachiniahaha area. H-H-A-T-C-H-I-N-E-H-A.
Oh, Nance would ask for a rewrite on that.
Hachinia. Hachiniha. Hachininahaha. Anyway, it's near Haines City. It's up up in the northern part of the state. Nobody was hurt, thank God. In addition to two counts of attempted murder, Vittoriti also faces charges of shooting into an occupied vehicle and tampering with evidence. Here's the quote. If you get upset at a nearby construction site going on at 7 p.m., do not shoot at people as a way of trying to get your point across. That's what the sheriff's office tweeted.
That's good advice.
After the tweet, it seems that 67% of the Florida population responded, why not? Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break.
Why the hell not?
Why do we have these then?
Yeah. Why not? It's time for my video tutorial.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I'll forget it. If I don't do it today, we won't get it on the show.
As Lizzo said, it's about damn time.
Oh, yes. A cover of like Vanity Fair or something like that. We'll be right back.
TMOS traverses the internet and boldly goes into new territory.
Podcasting as we know it will be changed forever as TMOS brings you the future now.
It's the TMOS TikTok Takeover.
Catch the unrivaled comedy on the go, live as it happens.
Laughs tailor-made for your busy lifestyle.
It's the TMOS TikTok Takeover. Technology.
Synergy.
And all the your pants hilarity that you've come to expect from TMOS.
It's TMOS streaming live on TikTok.
Watch it. It's about damn
time. Neat, neat, neat. Hey, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. With work from home becoming the norm, we are spending more time indoors, but now is the time to get outside while the weather is still good.
Yes.
The weather outside is beautiful. Electric e-bikes offer next-level features at a price that's easy on your wallet. All their e-bikes ship for free and are fully assembled, so there's nothing stopping you from adventure. Right now, during Electric e-bikes' Better Than Black Friday sale, you can save up to $450. This is the best bang for your buck in the market, hands down. Mm-hmm. Oscar, you are in love with your electric e-bike.
I love them so much. We have two in our family now, and my wife Shannon and I can ride to work and ride home, no problem, and she loves it.
Beautiful. Yeah. It has customizable add-ons and adjustable features that let you tailor your ride to your style. Plus, variable pedal assist throttle, all-terrain tires, and a foldable design.
Tires.
No e-bike does more at this price. You can cover up to 45 miles on a single charge and reach up to 28 miles per hour with the 850-watt peak motor. Plus, upgraded seating, racks, and other accessories make it easy to build your dream ride. Take advantage of the Electric e-bikes Better Than Black Friday sale now and get your adventure on. Go to electricebikes.com and save up to $450 during their Better Than Black Friday sale. But hurry, because this sale ends on October 31st. Again, that's electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, ebikes.com. A lot of coffee.
Do it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Yes,
today.
I have always been fascinated by the videos that you see the youngsters do, where they do the, I've always felt, you know, these random thoughts, but they do a quick cut, and it makes them somehow more important.
Engaging.
And it makes them more engaging, and I don't know. I don't know how to. The one thing that I have never mastered even though we have a significant video component to this show, I have never mastered the art of video editing. It confuses me greatly.
Did you ever do it in college?
No, not really.
No, they didn't
not
have
really.
Video back then.
No, they had video. How dare
they had
you?
Video, but I mean, it was old-timey video.
I
we had a
they
studio.
Had like 1970s had the big cameras, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, even in the late 80s, they had big cameras, Oscar.
We had wooden cameras, and a guy would come in to the studio, throw a black sheet over his head.
It was film.
And he would
That's
do
what
this,
I mean.
You
had film to deal with.
Cranking.
Everybody, we would go down to class for our video, not our video, but our picture taking class that we'd have
yeah,
at American
composite,
University.
Yeah.
And it's said,
picture taking 201, it was called.
And they line us up shoulder to shoulder and said, all right, look angry. There you go. Good
the
job.
Flashbulb.
Yeah, he had to stand still for a minute and a half.
I use my explosion for many different. All right, here's a segment of the population that is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think that there is a market for this, and I think I could be the bitcher comedian spokesman for the elderly.
I've been begging for this forever.
You know,
this is. You,
I
you
have
actually,
the title
you,
of it. What's wrong with old people?
I love it.
Yeah, but you're not that old.
But he can comment on it, though.
No, he could get canceled for pretending like he's old and he's not old.
So what direction? I'll take. This is in its infancy. I bring out quick cut videos for old people.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, but it would be something. I don't know if I'd want to tie it into the
show. If I'm not bitching, I'm not breathing.
Bitching and breathing.
Yes, that
Ooh,
works.
I like
Done.
That.
Done.
Yeah.
I'm bitching that one and breathing. Mike O'Mara's monthly quick cut
monthly,
video.
You got to do this
Daily.
Every day. 5 days
doing
a week.
It every day.
I'm not, Frequency is key.
Yep. You got to get that content out there.
100%.
Well, how long are they? How long do they,
60
they
seconds.
Go? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe 50.
No. I don't know if I could keep it to 60 seconds.
Does that add value?
You know?
Saying 50?
I was joking. Okay. You're trying to get him into
don't
it.
Don't confuse him.
Right. No. I think, a minute. You could do it in a minute. If the cuts are quick.
Okay. All right.
So you edited audio on digital. Have you ever done that in the past? I'm okay. That's what I'm curious.
No, I haven't.
Honest
I'm shaking
questions.
My
honest
head.
Question,
but
question.
It's true. Okay. I back in the day when I was a production director,
yes.
I edited. I'm so old. Rob knows what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I edited with tape and a razor blade.
Don't forget your wax pencil.
And the wax grease pencil.
Yeah.
So when you
that
cut
I do
commercials,
to mark the tape.
Yeah. When you cut commercials.
Yes.
How did you edit those?
I would tell you there are two ways I did it. Number one, I would use the razor and I would cut the reel-to-reel tape. Or, in many cases, I would record segments directly onto tape cartridge. And I would stack. We would have 6 tape cartridge machines in the studio. And I would stack them by pressing the buttons.
Oh, wow.
And that was always weird because I came in on the tail end of analog production and the beginning of digital production. When you did that stuff with multi-carts, it wasn't just being a production guy. It was being a board op, too. Because
you
had to get
it
exactly
the board
right.
And it's like, it's an Oreo Speedwagon weekend.
And you have 6 song cuts. Yeah. It was
and that's
crazy.
How you would match them all up?
Yep.
So your timing had to be perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
oh
you
God.
Were good at that because I was a DJ and I knew how to time that stuff. But as far, I have had moments where I've looked at video and audio editing software here, and it's kind of difficult.
The,
but I mean,
the
obviously, these morons
the
are doing it,
the
right?
Morons. Yes, that's the
that
way.
That is the beauty, Mike.
That's, if these morons
I'm a
can
moron.
No, you're not. You actually,
I
are
could do it.
You're a talented broadcaster.
Yeah, you are.
That has, I guess, what is key, regardless of how you edit it as a younger man, is that you have timing and you have the chip and you know what goes well and you know when something's off, and that can't. That takes decades to figure out. So because you have that instinct, what I'm happy to tell you is that everything now can be done for what you're asking to do. Before it would be like, okay, send us like what you know, we'll record it here. And we'll
no,
edit
I don't
it
want
down.
To do. I want no, this.
No.
I want
you
this
can do
to
it
be
all
all
on your
me.
Phone.
Really?
Yeah,
it's right there. All the software's right there. You don't have to download anything special. You can do it on TikTok. TikTok gives you the software.
Internet.
It's right there. Bitcoin.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm internet. Happy to get on the phone with you and just show you how to do it.
You might have to call him on a landline so he can keep his phone in front of him to see.
Well, he can share a screen now. There's a in
oh,
the
that's
update,
right.
Can I can do it
screen.
Right here.
Yeah. Well, don't let's not waste our listeners' time.
No, not here. No, not now. I'm not going to do it on the show. But when you have any free time, give me 5-10 minutes after the show.
Do you know that on your phone now, if I FaceTimed you, you could hit a button. that could, could share your screen so I could see what you're doing on your screen. Did you know that's possible?
No, I don't know anything about
that. A new update.
See, that's fantastic.
Update, baby.
Take that, pony, with your green bubble.
I will.
Oh, hey, you know what I found? I found my Noom graph.
Oh, can't wait to see this.
Oscar. All right, hold on.
Peaks and valleys. You gotta get closer.
Yeah.
Or turn down the brightness on your phone. That's probably the easiest
thing. That's right. I'll zoom in. All right, here we go.
Zoom into the Noom.
It's a Noom zoom. It's focusing.
It's white balance at this point.
And
here we go. No. Turn down the brightness on your screen, if you don't mind. Then we can see.
Oh, God, there it is.
Oh, my God, I saw it. Oh, my God. Whoa.
Wow. Am I the only one who sees the face of Christ?
No. So you see, for those of you that maybe you'll get this, there's a wonderful documentary on what is one of the largest earthquakes in where's Mount Everest? Kilimanjaro?
Yeah, no, Tibet.
Tibet. I don't know if that's the case. I'm sorry. I should know better. But there's base camp, which takes 10 days to get to.
I know the video you're talking about when they have the earthquake and suddenly these guys see the wall of avalanche coming at them.
Yes.
And it's called after the earthquake or aftershock like that.
Yes, aftershock.
Oh, my God. I haven't finished it yet. I just started it. And,
really? It has a happy ending.
All right. I will do that. Shut up, God. That's great. Okay, so I don't want to waste your time with it, and we needed a quick break anyway, so we got to take a break. When we come back, why does Rob hate Halloween? And more fun and more thrills, because I've always really been upset by the fact that he hates Halloween.
It's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
He's salty about it.
Yeah, unless you're going to King's Dominion with your lover. Anyway, we'll take a break and we will come back. With more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Who can take the funny and sprinkle it with naughty? Mike, Rob, Oscar, and their old friend Pony. The latest bonus show is 60 minutes full of hilarity.
Carla would like to tell Rob he is a sick.
Yeah.
I too would the Reese's.
Yeah.
Not even a question.
The Reese's.
I don't like the texture of Skittles.
Yeah, I love fruity options. I really do.
The Jolly Ranchers, but only the lemon.
I want to spend all my days with my Raisinettes.
Raisins are key to a fruitcake success.
Every now and then you want a little bit of strange. You go with the Butterfingers.
Goobers, I'd kill.
I am concerned about the fact that I am and marrying two chocolate products.
The TMOS bonus show may taste like candy, but it helps you lose weight. Enjoy the benefits today and get a subscription at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Is there any anything better than Texas toast? That's a fat isolation.
Yeah. Hi, Carl.
Oh, God. That's what those guys do. Hey, people will try anything to lose weight. Insane workouts, eating nothing but grapefruit, questionable teas. But if you are looking for a more sustainable approach, Noom Weight is ready to help. They're helping me. Their psychology-based approach gives you the knowledge and support to build lasting results. What I just showed you a moment ago was my Noom graph of my weight loss. I log my weight every day. That's an absolute must. Noom Weight focuses on progress instead of perfection. Progress isn't a straight line. I just showed it to you. And on off days, they're part of the process. Noom Weight helps you get back on track. Choose your level of support from five-minute daily check-ins to personal coaching. Noom Weight's approach is based on scientific principles that help you better understand your relationship with food. I love it. And when I'm talking about logging, and I may be being lighthearted about it, but the fact is, you know, when you go on the program with Noom Weight, that they're going to get you an ability to slide that you can come back and hop right back on. 95% of customers say Noom Weight is a good long-term solution, and I believe that. Active Noomers lose an average of 15 pounds in 16 weeks. I love Noom Weight because it works. If you're done trying everything to lose weight, then try Noom Weight. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial today. All right, so the Halloween thing with Rob, Oscar. Rob's kids got to a certain age, and then Rob lost interest. I don't think this has anything to do with the hooch. When he was drinking,
no,
because he hated it then too.
I completely Disagree.
Although I did like for...
You used
for,
to give away liquor.
Yeah, I used to hand out booze and beer, which was part of... That was sort of fun.
But you hated it last year when you were still drinking.
Yeah, I did hate it last year. I felt...
Probably point, more than you ever have.
In fact, I never knew.
I never knew.
But it is... To me, it's just like, it doesn't, it's not my holiday. And now I've got the people, you know, my house is a townhouse, so we all have a yard that's about the size of a nice laptop screen. That's about how big our yard is. And they've got people that go all out. And you know what? I've gotten to where I can accept an occasional pumpkin or a skeleton, but here's what I hate the most. The inflatable things that they turn off at night, like when they go to bed. The other morning I was walking Linus, and I look in a yard, and there's three deflated things just laying there. Mm-hmm. It looks like trash. And, of course, these are the people that go all out to decorate, and they never bring in their free newspaper. And I hate that because it's discourteous to your neighbor.
Man, you know, sometimes when we don't talk to you a lot, I forgot your level of intolerance and all that.
Do you know what I end up when I pick up Linus's poop, and I also end up on a walk. If it's like the free paper comes on Friday, if it gets to be Sunday, I'll walk my street and pick up all the free papers and throw them away because I can't stand looking at them. Just in the driveway. Show that you care. Show that you care about the way your neighborhood looks.
What's the free paper?
I like the Leesburg go f*** yourself.
Oh, I don't know what the name is. Really? I get them here. I don't. You never know what's going to set him off. Now, I understand the paper more than I understand the... Because we were on our little bike ride last night. We got these neighbors that have these giant skeletons that they set up, these super tall. And I think it's about as... It's super cool.
No. You know what? We've got one of those 18-foot skeletons in the neighborhood, too. And it's
they're
like,
so neat.
Guess what I did? I went to Lowe's and I bought an 18-foot skeleton and I'm going to put it in my yard. Look at me. You know what?
You're the biggest hypocrite. You used to get the cartoon-sized tree every year.
I love it, but you know what? That's for me. That's for me. It's inside.
So, but don't you think you're bringing a level of joy just like you would with Christmas decorations?
I don't know. I don't feel that it's a very joyful holiday. And you know what else is even worse than the 18-foot skeletons? People that put the fake cobwebs out but do a crappy job of it. You know that fake? It looks like a bag of cotton candy. It's like white thread. Yeah. And if you stretch it really thin, it kind of resembles cobwebs. But I got one house in my neighborhood.
Why the hostility about it?
Yeah, we need to get you a subscription to BetterHelp.
Because what happens is this one house in my neighborhood, not to point fingers, two houses down to the left, they put it out and didn't stretch it out enough. So it just looks like the stuffing of a quilt laying on a bush.
Do you have the little thing where people put the little ghosts with sheets in the trees, too? Have you seen that one?
We don't have a lot of trees in our neighborhood. It's a young neighborhood. They have to keep it.
It's a young neighborhood? You've been there for 150 years.
But they had to raise the entire thing to build the houses. Yeah, so we've got an occasional...
They just poop. It's a townhouse community. Yeah, they just pooped out all the houses and they strip mined, right?
We've got an occasional cedar or a Bradford pear. But nothing you're going to climb.
An occasional six-month-old Bradford pear tree.
Yeah, exactly. That's worse for the wear. And you know, it's just all of this. And they're going to be there for most of November because I don't want to take it down. So I got to look at their soggy, cotton candy, crappy-looking cobwebs all over their bushes.
I get it. I think I've got it, Oscar. It's a tidiness issue with him.
Yes!
He doesn't like that. He does now. I'm with you.
I want the neighborhood to look tidy.
With you on the newspapers, but when you go by, like for example, an inflatable vulture sitting over a tombstone,
that's swell. Until you walk out at 7 o'clock in the morning and it's laying down like a puddle, like it melted, like they threw dip on it in Roger Rabbit. They melted the vulture.
It's fun.
No, it's not fun.
And it's not for you. It's for their kids or their neighborhood kids, primarily.
It's for me. I don't mind it. I love seeing the giant skeleton.
There's a thriving, and there's probably a family in that house. And
yeah, let me explain for them. Spiewak, here's why I think I get it. All right? This is very therapeutic.
Okay.
This is my bone to pick with you on that. All right? For many, many, many years, I've had my daughters, and now I have my son, where I live in a community where people have grown children.
Right.
And they say, F it to Halloween, because they're incredibly selfish. selfish. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody ought to put like out a pumpkin, turn the light on, and offer candy on Halloween. And for some reason, people think that once their kids become a certain age, that absolves them of any significant responsibility for Halloween. And I hate that. I wish everybody would be more into it because it would be more fun for my kid. And I will tell you, I commit to you now, when my son gets to be too old for Halloween, I will be dead. No, I will be. I will still be.
You will be, Mike. They will turn you into a yard decoration.
Yeah, there he is. Like the desiccated corpse, you know. There's Mike. I'll be.
Time to get that out.
The Stranger Things decorations where they have the little girl just hovering.
Yeah.
That is, like, I love seeing that.
It's fun. You liked King's Dominion when you went there with all their Halloween BS.
Yeah, but you see, that is not people in my neighborhood half-assing it and putting the cobwebs up badly and then leaving the stuff deflated. I don't like to see the behind the scenes of the deflated things. And also,
it's tidiness.
I think it has a lot to do with tidiness. Pick up your newspapers.
You like a nice, orderly yard.
Yes.
Like a prison yard.
And also, we're getting close enough, I can mention this. Take some care if you put out Christmas lights. I don't want to see them sagging. I don't want to see one string out.
Are you decorating?
I will probably do some Christmas
lights. That's a
non-committal. Now that you're off the hooch, do you think maybe you'd want to hop on your... do you have a neighborhood association? Do you have a community association?
I'm sure we do, but I don't do well in things like that.
I don't either. I did it once.
I did too.
I was the president of my homeowners association.
Never
do it again.
I just got
best
back
moment?
On the board.
The best moment of my homeowners association when I was in Haymarket, Virginia.
Yes.
Back when I had that massive house.
Yes.
Before I lost everything. Yes. And I got a call in the middle of the night. There's a party going on down at blah, 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 something lane. And I don't know what they're doing down there. And I walked down and I heard the thump, thump, thump. And it was a guy. I think he was a heating, air conditioning duct guy. I don't know, but he printed money.
Yeah.
And he was out there, and I ended up partying with him.
See, that's a way to get reelected.
Cool.
Anyway, stop it. Yeah. Be more mindful of your neighbors. You should enjoy it.
You should force yourself
to like it.
All right. And if you come to my door on Halloween evening, I will give you a biblical tract. Something you can read, something that'll better
on
your
tape?
Life. No, it'll be a pamphlet.
Are you going to hand out candy?
We haven't bought any candy yet.
You don't want to give... He's a heroin addict. You can't give that to him.
Yeah, you can. He could handle it.
I could handle candy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean, I still feel a little thrown under the bus that while I was in the hospital, Carrie threw away all the liquor. I could have been trusted.
Michael's got his parade this Friday.
Are you doing trunk or treat?
We're doing that privilege.
I know, but I could have proven myself good.
He's got his parade on Friday, and then he wants, and I totally, Carla's a little curmudgeon-y when it comes to Halloween, too. He's got his costume, his Fortnite skin that he's wearing, which looks like a little bug with weird pants, like a space alien.
We saw it.
And then he said he wants, but he wants, when he goes trick-or-treating in the neighborhood, he wants to be scarier. So he wants to be like a zombie. So I said, just innocently, I walked out there. I said, he wants to do the thing at school, but then he wants to go out as
a
scary zombie.
He is a showman, yeah.
And I'm all down. She says, another year with two costumes. I was like, well, I thought you'd be able to help him with some like, I don't. And she said, I don't do that. I don't do that well. And so it's going to kind of be on me to turn him into a zombie. So please send along your tips
Whatever you do, Mike, don't turn to Carla and say, well, why don't you make more costumes?
Thank you very much. That'll be yes.
Oh, and a greeting to everyone that's going to the Vienna Town Parade for Halloween. I hope the whole city burns down.
God, what is wrong with you?
It's a horrible city, Vienna.
I hope you don't maintain this demeanor for Christmas.
Mike, this is the hardest time for a man in his state. This is supposed to be Virginia?
No. Pumpkin ale. That's what we're talking about. We'll be right back, everybody.
Just a sip.
Buy from Vince's Diet Warehouse and get free gumballs.
Oh, anybody can sell you what they think you want, but if you need new tires for your ride or the sweet, satisfying pick-me-up of a gumball, you can't miss shopping online through the shopping center at MikeOMaraShow.com. Target and Walmart has what you're looking for. Have it shipped to your door or pick it up at the store. You can't lose because you help help support TMOS. And here's something else to chew on.
Gumballs and tires. He can't miss. Trust me. Get out of there.
I used to do that voice. That was my least Lucille Ball voice, too.
But you weren't in drag. No, you were a tire guy.
Yeah, so popular they asked me to do a TV commercial. A couple of them. And then none. The weather is gorgeous, so lighten up and enjoy it. Dadgrass is great anytime.
Yes.
It can help you chill out before a big meeting or be the replacement for a little vino in the evening. Dadgrass is legal. It's organic hemp. It relaxes your body, mellows your mind. Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp that's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. Be like Oscar. Try their token smokable pre-roll joint. Do you use the tincture or the joint?
A tincture guy.
And CBD, the kind that doesn't make you high. Just relax.
Hemp flower, their selection of CBD tincture drops. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or just a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS to check out their products. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS.
Sound Town.
Mike, I'm glad you have your explosion handy because I have the first of my Halloween parody records of the...
Excuse me?
You missed that time. The year... You know, the inflation means that the candy is more expensive this year, and you might need...
We had a story about it yesterday.
Yes, you might need some monster cash.
My experiments all seem to be going out of whack, so I took a break for a tasty snack. When suddenly I heard Frankenstein say, "Holy crap, those M&Ms are up to $10 a bag."
He needs some cash.
He needs some monster cash.
Some monster cash.
To fill the children's sacks.
He needs some cash.
Kind of nice.
Kind of nice.
It's not as bad as some of them, but I'll still, blow it up for general principle. But yeah, you know, better than some, Rob, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
A little bit better than some.
Good source material, good topic. And also, he didn't get lazy. He didn't get lazy.
He needs some cash. He needs some monster cash. And it's a, you know, a parody of the Monster Mash. So it matches perfectly.
Who doesn't want monster cash?
Bobby Boris Pickett.
That was the originator of the Monster Mash.
Mike, in Minnesota, this story doesn't seem to land in Minnesota, but it does. I mean, when you think of things that you do in the fall, you pick apples, you get a pumpkin, and also the corn maze is very popular.
Huge around the Northern Virginia area, or probably all of Virginia, but lots of corn. Corn!
And it's funny because corn is also known as maize, but I digress.
Mice.
Yes. But anyway, in Minnesota, a man was in a corn maze and accidentally shot himself in the leg. How does this happen? Well, let me explain.
All of a sudden, I heard this bang, and I thought it was fireworks or something. Everybody was having a good time. The kids were laughing and playing and having a ball, you know. And then that happens, and, you know, it was really upsetting.
He was removing corn kernels from his boot by bending over at the waist, and that's when the firearm discharged. Yeah, maybe you're carrying it for personal protection, but you also have to think about the people around. You have that responsibility to make sure that you're making good decisions and that you have the equipment and that you're conducting yourself to keep everybody safe.
Oh, yeah, sure. I have kernels in my boot.
It's really subtle, right? But it's there, right? Yeah. You got to make sure you're doing your, so he bends over to pick up a kernel of corn, and it just like it discharges.
It fell
in
down
his foot.
In his boot then.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So I shot him in the leg. God,
you betcha. Yeah, you get shit goes with a gun. You know, he had a Glock in his belt, and he bent over to pick up the corn, and boom.
He said it was for self protection, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, you got self protection. Think about the kids in the corn maze.
He said thank you, but he didn't say thank you. If you know what I mean.
So that's it then.
All right. So it's always nice to surprise you, youngster, with a cake, sometimes for a birthday, maybe it's a graduation or something. But what about if your daughter comes home with a hickey?
Oh,
what do you do?
Oh,
this was trending yesterday.
Is it alive? No! It says yippee for your hickey. No!
They got her cake that says yippee for your hickey.
Gross.
That is really gross.
I've always thought hickeys are gross.
A wonderful way hickeys. To mortify your kids.
Yeah, it really
so
is.
So the mother got her a hickey, what was it?
Yippee for your hickey.
Play it again. Play it one more time, okay?
Is it alive? No! 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 It says yippee for your hickey? No!
No.
She'll aren't never, you in a way...
She'll never have one again.
Yeah, that maybe that's just a brilliant way to do it.
I'm surprised if it was from Costco. I'm surprised they spelled it right. They got the whole thing right. It looked right.
How do you spell it? It's H-I-C-K-E-Y?
Yes, and I think W-I-P-P-E-E.
No. Yeah, I think, well, yeah, maybe.
Yippee.
I
was going to say Y-I-P-P.
Y-I-P-P-I-E.
I think double E. Oscar, you're the tiebreaker.
I just know yippee-ki-yay, mother, you know.
Yeah, well, that's also great. Okay. Get that on a cake. Only he didn't say thank you.
Well, that's it then.
All right, let's close with this. If I say the name Ariel Ellis, does that ring a bell?
No.
All right, you'll understand when I tell you this. She was the stand-up comic in New Jersey that had the beer thrown at her.
Oh, that lady, that young brave lady, yes.
Well, one of the reasons her story broke is that Jimmy Kimmel saw that and tweeted about it. She was on Kimmel last night and actually had a pretty good set. This was my favorite joke.
That doesn't surprise me. She's got guts.
And so this is my favorite joke she told.
I have an eating disorder. I have body dysmorphia, which if you don't know, body dysmorphia is this condition where you are a woman. Toxic thoughts that never stop. I got food poisoning one time, and my first thought when I got food poisoning was, I can't wait to weigh myself. Which is so bad, right? You understand, like, that's a really terrible toxic 3 pounds. But that's a terrible.
That's all I got. 3 pounds. 3 pounds.
That's awesome. Oh, we got to get out of here.
Yeah,
sorry, we're short on time. We'll be back tomorrow. You caught me by surprise there with a brand new episode. Our tremendous thanks to Jason Taylor and Team Rubicon USA. If you want to join up with this amazing organization and Jason, just the parade of incredibly thoughtful and intelligent and impressive human beings we've had on our talking head. TeamRubiconUSA.org to donate, to join. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
Also, he mentioned if you're in the Iowa City area, feel free to email him directly, jason.taylor@TeamRubiconUSA.org. Check him out.
That's it. We got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Avocados from Mexico.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I would like to hear a Space Force spirit on three. One, two, three.